Welcome to the UGA BCM Podcast, a part of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries located on the campus of the University of Georgia. For more information about us or to learn how to get involved, follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and find us online at UGABCM.org. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Each week, we're glad to bring you a devotional thought between myself and Tommy Fountain, our other campus minister. And today's message comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And it goes like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It's a tremendous passage where Isaiah receives his call for the Lord. It's important for us to understand that life in Christ doesn't revolve around us. It's important for us to really have a key on what the essential message of God's movement in the world through the Old Testament and including through the New Testament right up until this very day. What is it that God wants of you? And Isaiah's response is, after he had been made clean by God, after he had seen his glory, to say, "Here am I, send me." Are you doing that with your life? Have you said to God, "Here is my life. Regardless of where it goes, send me, God, and I will obey." I was just watching a documentary on Jeff Foxworthy on one of the education channels the other night, and Jeff Foxworthy is a Christian, and he's a comedian, and his big deal is you might be a redneck if. And I started thinking about that. That we might miss Jesus if. You know, you just might miss Jesus if you're not experiencing the majesty and the amazing greatness of God. Maybe not to the point that Isaiah did, but if you don't look around and see the glory of God's creation and understand who God is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great Creator, the great I Am, you just might miss Jesus. You might miss Jesus if you don't understand your own unholiness. So Isaiah looks at this great throne room he's thrown into. He sees the train of the Mighty One's King. You see this great robe that he's wearing. You see these angels flying around. And his response, his first response isn't, "God, you're great and how cool it is that I am here." His response is, "I am unholy. I am lost. I am undone. I am no one to be in the presence of God. God, do you know my life? For I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm unholy. And I dwell in the midst of an unholy people, people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King of hosts, and so I am undone." Then one of the angels flies to him, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, Isaiah says, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for, paid for." You might miss Jesus if you don't understand your unholiness and your need of atonement, your guilt. You might miss Jesus if you haven't admitted your need. Here, when he stands in front of God, Isaiah says, "I'm undone. I need you, God. I am lost without you." He's lost because he knows that he is inadequate, incomplete, and also standing in front of a holy God. He saw his own need and guilt. That he, even though I'm sure Isaiah was a good guy, he was not perfect. He was not holy. And he was standing before a holy God. One day, all of us are going to be standing before a holy God, and we're going to have to give answer for ourselves. And if our answer is that, hey, I'm a pretty good guy, you've missed Jesus. If you say, but look, I know I live among really pretty good people, and I'm a pretty good person, that is the wrong answer. The answer, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That we all, I'm a sinner and I live among a bunch of other sinners. We're all in the same boat together, and I have a need for God. We miss that oftentimes because we might miss Jesus if we think that the world revolves around us. If you think the world revolves around you, you might miss Jesus. You get that? The world wasn't created for your sake. God loves us, but that is the character of God, to be a loving God. It isn't because we are worthy of love. The world doesn't revolve around you. And so you might say, life has done this to me. God has allowed this to happen. How come my life is, and you fill in the blank. I have to deal with this particular besetting sin or this guilt in my life. It's not fair. Why was the temptation put in front of me if I wasn't supposed to, you know, answer it? You don't understand my circumstance. I have hated my heart because X, Y, Z. The world doesn't revolve around you. God's heart is to love and to have mercy and to forgive. But God is also a righteous judge who will judge each one of us. And the world doesn't revolve around us. The world does revolve around God. And everything answers and goes back immediately to him. You might miss Jesus if you don't understand that. The book of Ephesians, it says that everything, its very substance, is held together by the word of Jesus. He's that important. You might miss Jesus if you think life should be fair for you. And once again, you might be saying, oh, I'd accept Jesus more fully if, and however you answer that question, you haven't put Jesus first, and you don't understand that the world revolves around him, not you. Life isn't going to be fair upon you, based on your standards. Matter of fact, I don't doubt some terrible, terrible things have happened to you, and that you have felt helpless to act, to feel like you feel. But it's really helpful to understand life isn't fair according to your standards. God is true, he's just, and he's merciful. But he's all of those things. He's loving and he's powerful. And he balances all of those things perfectly, which doesn't make fairness for you, because oftentimes we don't need fairness. The Bible says, according to God, that we deserve death. We deserve punishment, but God has given his own son. Because of his great love and his holiness, he has given his own son to come and live and to die for us. And you might miss Jesus if you think somehow even salvation is just all about you. God has called you. He knows your name. He desires for you to come to him. But not for your own sake, not just so you'll have a happier life, not for all the stuff that God would give you, not for all, even for your eternal life in heaven. God has called you, but he's called you for a purpose. And just as Jesus showed, God cares about the underdog. He cares about justice. He cares about the dispossessed. And you might miss Jesus if you don't have that at the center of your heart and your ethic and your understanding of how the world should be. And so you come before God, you see His greatness and His amazing goodness. You understand your own unholiness. You admit your need, and you realize that my purpose in life isn't for me and for mine to get more, to do more, to be more blessed. That is not your purpose. Your purpose is to be a part of the reconciling work of God in the world, to bring others to Himself so that they will know His goodness and His greatness, and consequently, your life, their life, will be the best it possibly can be. At the end of Isaiah 6, verse 8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me." Once again, I'll go back to this question. If you see God in His greatness, doesn't it make sense that you would align your life in alignment with the one who made you and knows what your purpose is, who's created you for this? And the Lord says, it's a rhetorical question, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" God does ask. He says, He's not going to make you into a robot. He's not going to force you. But He says, "I've got this work in the world. I've got this life of salvation that results in all eternity. But it's not just for you, it's for others. Who will I send to tell others about this good word?" And Isaiah's response is, in the midst of his own recognition of who God is, his own unholiness, and the fact that his sins had been atoned for by God, Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." And here's the tough part. Verse 9, God says to Isaiah, "Go, say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." In other words, Isaiah's commission is going to talk to a really stubborn people, people who many of whom, if not most, will not listen to you. But you keep on representing me, Isaiah, to the point where these people don't want to see you anymore. They don't want to hear you anymore. Now, perhaps their eyes will see. Perhaps their ears will hear. Perhaps they'll understand. But that's not your task. That's my task. I will work with them and invade their lives with my Holy Spirit. You keep on being faithful and preaching. And I said, "How long, O Lord?" And He says, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land." Do you hear the mercy of God in that? You keep on preaching, Isaiah. Don't worry about the timeline. Maybe there'll almost be no other people left, but you keep on being faithful to me. That's not your task. Your task is to be obedient. I will bring forth any results that might have. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, and it will be like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. But the Holy Spirit is its stump, and it will rise again. You, even if you don't see any results of you being faithful to God, maybe it looks like everybody around you has fallen away from the gospel. Still seek to live for Jesus. Let me encourage each one of us, including myself, even when we don't see the results that we'd like to see. And oftentimes that's how we feel during COVID. We feel almost worthless in terms of, am I doing anything for the Lord? Am I advancing His gospel? You keep on advancing the gospel the best you can. God will give you the increase, and He'll give you the strength and wisdom on how to do that, because there will always be a remnant. Maybe it looks like the whole forest is down, but those stumps are there and it will grow again. And you keep on preaching for the sake of God and for His bigger picture, even though you don't see it. Don't miss Jesus. You might miss Jesus if you don't see His glory. You might miss Jesus if you don't see his call on your life. You might miss Jesus if you don't admit your own need for Jesus. You might miss Jesus if you live a life that is all surrounded by you. Let me encourage us all today to seek Christ hard with our lives, to go to the purpose for which we're made. And then as lesser things happen around us, let those things go and to seek Jesus. Don't miss them. If I could be of any help with that, give me a call. The information on contacting myself or Tommy Fountain is here on the podcast information. We would love to have a conversation with you about this further or anything. Give us a call. Go Dawgs. Blessings.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the UGA BCM podcast. Follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and visit us online at ugabcm.org to find more information about us. We'll see you next time.